Again, it's wonderful to see everybody out. It's always great to be here. It's always wonderful to study the Word of God. And again, it's just always wonderful to be able to present the Word of God. The honor and privilege to be able to have understanding. And of course, the honor, that the trust of the brethren here to allow me to get up here every first day of the week to present the lessons and the faith that I'll proclaim the truth. But even then, I encourage that you open up your Bibles and follow along through the lesson to confirm that the truth is being taught, because I can make mistakes. And if you see that mistake has been made, I ask that you bring that to my attention so that I can make sure that I am following God correctly and, of course, that I am teaching the truth. And, you know, that is the goal that we have, is to make sure that we are following the Lord. And that's what I want to talk about for just a short moment this morning, is a dedicated life to Christ, a dedicated life to our God, and following our Lord. As we live from day to day upon this earth, and especially during this time frame, as we continue through this virus and pandemic, and the question that people continuously are put up is what to do, what decisions to make. And in all those decisions that we do make, and everything that's going on, and schools are trying to figure out what they're doing, we know that our lives should continuously be dedicated to God. Continuously, no matter what choice it is that you're making, that the first thing that comes to our mind of asking whether or not it's right or wrong to do this, whether or not we should go here or not, or whether or not it is, what is this in relation to our relation with God? And to how would our Lord react to these things? And so we are dedicated our lives to Christ. And so I ask that you open up your Bibles and follow along this morning. So the first point is simply that we are living for Christ, that we are truly giving ourselves over to the Lord. And so if you open your Bibles to Philippians, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, of course, here we see Paul writing the letter to the church of Philippi. He's writing to the brethren here. As he writes this here, he makes the point, as he's going forth and encouraging them, and of course, writing in these things, he says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." To live is Christ. He brings that point up here, is that his life is to live for the Lord. Now, he sees the goal at the end of the tunnel. He knows where he wants to be, and he knows that he has dedicated his life to the Lord. And so, therefore, he knows that he has a home in heaven. We see that Paul has the boldness. He has confidence in his salvation. He truly believes that Jesus died for his sins, and that when he was baptized, and that his sins were washed away. From that time on, that he has dedicated his life to the Lord. So he says, to die is gain. Why? Because now he is no longer caught up in the temptations that we face upon this earth. Now he no longer faces the torments of this world, and the pain and the suffering of this world. But to live, there's still things we can do as we live. And that's to live for the Lord. To live for Christ, as he brings out here. To continue to teach and spread the good news. To help establish congregations. To go forth and write these letters back as he departs, and tell him that he desires to come back and see him once more. He dedicated his life to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, that is the Lord calling us to him. That is what we are doing when we obey the gospel, is that we are giving ourselves over to God. We're giving ourselves over to Christ. When we extend the Lord's invitation at the end of every lesson, every time that we gather together with one another, we extend that opportunity to be baptized, to wash away your sins, to come forward and ask for prayers of the congregation. Again, I'm not extending my invitation, because it's not my church. I don't own it. We extend the Lord's invitation. The Lord is the one that says here in Matthew 11, 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart,
and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he says, come to me. As Paul wrote other letters and as he continued to do the work of the Lord, you know, he was able to say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Again, he wasn't necessarily getting up there saying, look at me, I'm so great, I'm so awesome, do what I do. But he had confidence, once again, in his actions, that he was doing what the Lord had told him to do, that he was following in the footsteps of Christ, that he could say, imitate what I'm doing because I'm doing what the Lord is doing. So he was dedicated to the Lord. And as he set the example and as he shined a light into this world, he shined the Lord's light. It wasn't his own special light. It was the Lord's light that he continued to shine in this world. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, if you turn along with me there. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 1. As you read along with me here, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living, that you present, let me restate that. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Again, dedicating your life. And so when we talk about dedicating your life, here he says, making your body, your life, a living sacrifice. A sacrifice. If you don't know what a sacrifice is, open up your Bible, study the Old Testament, go and see what the sacrifice was under the Old Law. As they had to take, and especially read as the law was put in order, as Moses had to give it to the children of Israel, as he had to go in detail explaining when they brought the lamb, it was alive when they brought it, and when they brought the bull and they brought the turtle dove to the sacrifice, and they're telling them all that had to happen, that they had to hold the head and that they had to slit its throat and that they had to sprinkle the blood around the tabernacle, and all the things that took place. This was a sacrifice. If that's not enough details, then look to the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who made a sacrifice. 40. We just finished up this part. We're at his resurrection in our study as we finish it up tonight in the adult class. But we just went through speaking and looking in detail of all that our Lord and Savior had gone through. Of being scourged and then being beat and being spat upon and being mocked. Sometimes we get caught up and say, well, I made a sacrifice. I got out of bed and I came to church on Sunday morning. I could have slept in. That's a sacrifice. Is that all that you sacrifice? Is that all that we're willing to give up at looking at what the Lord has given to you, what He has done for you? A dedicated life to our Lord and Savior. Meaning that we have to be willing to forsake everything. We have to be willing to make that sacrifice. The sacrifice has to be made. Turn along with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. Matthew 4. Read along with me here. And in verse 19. Here it says, then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending the nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. When we look at these four here that follow our Lord, they left their family business. They were fishermen. As we look at the example we just read here, they were with their father. That their father is the family business. This is what they were doing. This is how they made a living. This is how their father made a living. But when the Lord called them, they were ready to forsake these things and follow Him. Understand, I'm not saying that you can't have a secular job. That's not what I'm trying to preach up here today. It's just looking at the example of being willing to make the sacrifice, forsake for the need of the Lord. willing to give up these things. In Luke chapter 14, in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, when we've dedicated our lives to the Lord, that you've truly given yourself over to God, that means that we are willing to even give up our family if that's the sacrifice that is called for us. If that's the sacrifice that you have to make in order to get to heaven, in order to remain faithful to the Lord. And again, it's not saying that you hate your family truly, that you desire them to go to hell. It's that point that you're going to put God above all others. So you read with me here in Luke 14, and in verse 26 it says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father or mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own wife, also he cannot be my disciple." Again, we're told to love. We know we are to love. Love your brothers and sisters. Love your wife. To love your children. To love your enemies. Again, God's not telling us here to truly hate. But it's the point that if they try to tell us to go the other direction, to deny God, trying to draw that line, well, I can be with them in sin, but be with God at the same time. We have to put God first. We have to be willing to make that sacrifice. We have to be willing to follow our Lord and Savior. In Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Mark chapter 10. Here it's reading about the rich young ruler. As the rich young ruler, of course, he comes and approaches the Lord, asking him what must be done that he may inherit eternal life. And so the Lord answered him, you know, keeping the commandments. And of course, it depends on which account you read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But one, he, you know, keep the commandments. And then he says, which commandments? And so the Lord answered him, basically listed off, you know, some of the Ten Commandments. Obey your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not covet. Do not steal. I kept all these from my youth. What must I do in order to be perfect? In verse 21, it says, "And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have. Give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and take up the cross and follow me.' But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." He wasn't willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. He did have a treasure higher than the Lord. So he wasn't willing to follow faithfully as he was commanded to do so. And again, what we read here, this is not the Lord teaching that we need to sell everything and that we need to give up all our money, because we know as we open up our Bibles and we study that he who does not provide for his own is worse than an unbeliever. So we know that we have to work. He who does not work shall not eat. We know that we have to make money and put food on the table, provide for your spouse, provide for your children, provide for yourself. Having a roof over your head. These are things that we must do. Again, if you allow that money to overtake your life, if you allow material possessions of this world to consume you, you are not dedicating your life over to the Lord. You're not fully giving yourself over to what He has commanded you to do so. You're allowing these things to take idolship in your heart. We have to be willing to make such sacrifices. We can't get caught up in just being lukewarm. That's a fully dedicated to the Lord, truly giving yourself over to God. Daily taking up your cross and following our Lord and Savior. Daily. Not just Sunday. Not just Sunday and Wednesday. Or some get caught up and not just Christmas and Easter. It's daily taking the cross, daily making the sacrifice, daily praying, daily studying, daily concern for your brothers and sisters in Christ, setting the example, shining the light. Can't be half in and half out. Turn along with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Read along with me, starting there in verse 15. Revelation 3 and in verse 15. It says, "For I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." He says, you're not cold, you're not hot, you want to stay there right in the middle. You're lukewarm, and no one wants that. Too many people today see the guardrail that the Lord has set up, and they assume it's a fence. And so they want to straddle the fence and say, "I'm not really against this, but I'm not really for it either, and so I'm just going to stand on the middle ground and not speak up against sin. I'm not going to condemn it. I'm not going to say it's okay." So therefore, they're not lining up with the Lord, but they're trying to say they're not lining up with the world. Thing is, Satan owns the fence. And so when it comes down to that time of trial, and you are just sitting there on the line with one foot in and one foot out, you're not with the Lord. You look at this here, and you read Revelation chapter 2 and verse chapter 3. You read about the churches that is receiving these letters. How they sound like they're doing so good in certain spots, but now all of a sudden, brings out these points that, no, you're not fully there. You haven't completely given yourself over. I mean, you go over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, you read starting there in verse 2. Revelation 2, starting in verse 2. It says, "I know your works, you labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." Again, it sounds like this congregation is doing great. They've tested people and found out them liars and had nothing to do with them. They've been patient. They labor hard. Verse 4 says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Again, it's a commitment we have to make. To be all in. We're told in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, you turn to Matthew 7, he says, "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." We're given, "Lord, did we not prophesy in your names, cast out demons in your names, and done many wonders in your name? Depart from me, I never knew you," is words that they're going to hear. We have to give ourselves all the way over to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, Matthew chapter 12, and read with me in verse 30, Matthew 12 and verse 30, it says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." Again, that idea that we can claim to be with God and yet we don't shine our light at it. Claim that we are Christians and yet we are not doing any part of when we have people come into our building that we shine our light to them, that we extend the welcomeness and hospitality and the love and the kindness. Even when you're out in the world and you're working your everyday life, you're going about to work, you're going to sports, the attitude, the way you act, the way you dress, the example that you set either shines a light to bring them to the Lord or it leads them away. Because we are told time and again through the Word of God, by what you say, they will know you. By your actions, they will know you. By the fruits that you produce, they will know you. How? Because you're going to be doing the things the Lord will be doing. You are going to act. You're going to speak. You're going to be different than the rest of the world. Are we gathering or are we scattering? In James chapter 3 and verse 10. In James chapter 3, if you turn along with me in verse 10. And here it's talking about the tongue. It's talking about, of course, being careful what you say. And then here it says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives and or a grapevine or bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. It's been a while now, I don't know how long ago. I remember there was a country song out there, and in the middle of the song it says, we curse on them, no, we pray on them Sundays and curse on them Mondays. Forget what song it was, but I mean, it's just bluntly stated out there. We pray on them Sundays, but we curse on Monday. It says, out of your mouth comes blessing and cursing. These things ought not to be. Should not be that way. It's either you're with the Lord or you're against Him. We must be faithful to the end. It's not just a part-time commitment. It's not a seven-year contract. It's a lifetime contract that you make, a covenant that you make with our God, with our Lord. That's why it tells us to remain faithful till death, and I will give you the crown of life. It doesn't say be baptized and you receive the crown of life. It does not say be faithful for a year. Do the best. It says be faithful till death. You shall receive the crown of life. And of course, once again, as always, there's always the ultimate example to help us understand the commitment that we have to make, the dedication once you've made that commitment. As God and our Lord and Savior made that commitment, that they went all in for you. They completely gave it all they could for you. Continue to do so. In John chapter 6 and verse 38, as we read about our Lord and Savior here, John chapter 6, and you read with me, and in verse 38 it says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Jesus said, I have come down from heaven. Again, this is a beautiful creation that God has made. This world is so marvelous. It truly is. If you haven't flown on a plane, I always encourage it because I've only done it a couple times. But being up in the sky and looking down and just seeing the world, it's beautiful. It's awesome. Just imagining that people think it's an accident, that it was just somehow formed. I don't see how it can be. To look up into the stars and see the heavens that God has created up there, the suns and the moon, the sun, moon, and the stars and planets, it's marvelous. Jesus created all those things. Understand, this world doesn't compare to what heaven's going to be like. And He came down from heaven to this world where sin has entered in and corrupted it. Mankind has corrupted this world. And yet He was willing to do that for you and I. That He was praised by angels, and now as He lived His life upon this earth, He became a little lower than the angels. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 7 says, you have made Him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned Him with glory and honor and set Him over the works of your hands. He went from being in heaven to being worshipped by angels to coming down through this world to being lower than the angels. And of course, don't forget about God, the Father, sacrifice of him that he made during all this too. And yes, our Lord and Savior, the Son of God, is the one that went through the suffering and persecution of being scourged and being spat on and being nailed to a cross, crucified. But our Father up in heaven is the one that had to ask him to come down here and do this. Told him that there's no other way for this to take place. Had to listen to his Son, pray in the garden, saying, Lord, God, please, if there's any other way that this can take place, let this cup pass from. Knowing that there's no other way, knowing that if they intervene, then mankind would have no way of salvation. They made the sacrifice, they went all the way. God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for you. Christ died for me. They made the sacrifice. They fully dedicated to giving us what we need. And he's still continuously there, always. He's with us always. There whenever you need to go to him in prayer. There whenever you need to open up the Word and study it and seeking wisdom. Go to him in prayer and ask him. It's always there. And Jesus went to go and prepare a home. Prepare a room in heaven for you. But given so much, how much are you willing to give over for them? How much are you willing to give so that you can say thank you? So that you can have that home in heaven. Again, we don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. We don't want to leave without extending that opportunity. For any who are here this morning who have not been baptized, who have not had their sins washed away, we encourage that you do that today. To make that commitment, make that covenant with your God. And be baptized and have the blood of Christ wash your sins away. If you're here, you have made that commitment, and you just need the strength of your brethren, the strength of God, and you're asking for prayers to help you, if there's anything we can do for you, please let it be known as we stand and sing.